Thank you for downloading the Chase Smith Podcast. In this episode, I interview Dr. Mark Smith, former president of Ohio Christian University, now the president at Columbia International University in South Carolina. We talk about leadership, leading through change in adversity, and his time at OCU. Let's get it! All right, hello everybody. I'm here with Dr. Mark Smith, currently the president of Ohio Christian University, soon to be the president of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Dr. Smith, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Chase?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much for giving me your time this morning. We first met way back in 2006, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. One of my famous students.
Oh, geez. I just transferred to Ohio Christian University from Marshall, and all I heard about was this new president who was changing everything, and I got to know some other students, and I got to know you and your wonderful family, and I soon found out that all the changes you were making were fantastic and just completely in the right direction, and I just have the utmost respect for you, Dr. Smith, and leadership, and I wanted to talk about leadership this morning, if that's okay.
I love leadership. I've taught it for a number of years, written books on it. I think I've got six or so books or co-authoring of books out, and numerous articles, so it'd be an exciting topic for me.
Great, great. And one of the things that was just so surprising to me was the level of kind of tension and pushback you got from students with the changes you were making. So as a campus president, how did you find yourself leading through the students that were petitioning and just all this outward stuff? How did you find yourself as a leader, like, leading through that?
Well, I think you have to back up and understand why I was asked to come by the board. And that foundation was what guided me through the time when students didn't necessarily understand what was happening. The university at that time was a Bible college and yes. was going through a major transition itself. In particular, the university had quite a bit of indebtedness. The university was struggling for identity. The university board had asked me specifically to grow the university from 300 to 2000. Mm-hmm. And the board had, even in my interview, asked me the five steps that I would take to do that. And I had shared in the interview that there were five things that I would do. Number one, and first, being a change of name to make the university have a more centralized Ohio Midwest approach rather than just tiny the Circleville, Ohio. Right. And that would broaden the outreach and the approach. Well, students on the campus who were used to Circleville thought that was an attack on their identity. Mm. And even though we put out press releases and tried to move forward, they didn't understand underlying that there was debt, that the university had to have major changes, that it was in trouble, mm-hmm. that the long-term survivability or viability of the institution would be at stake if they didn't have really a change agent. And so I came in, I never really wavered. One thing I did learn through all the process, or one thing I did, which I think many have come back, many students from that era have come back to me and said, Dr. Smith, you always showed respect to us. Mm-hmm. And I think by doing that, even those who opposed, I would sit down, I would talk to them. I was not afraid to answer their questions. And one of the things I've learned over the years is even when you have opposition, when you're bringing about change, showing respect to people is the ultimate courtesy you can give and many times will win the heart. It comes from a passage really in scripture, which I ground a lot of my leadership in, that a soft answer turns away wrath. Mm. And so when we can respond correctly to those who oppose us, many times the heart will turn.
You know, and that is one thing that really stuck out to me was is how much respect you showed to these students. And not only that, Dr. Smith, you were accessible as well. You had conversations with students. You invited students to your home to eat with you. And I think that goes such a long way when you're trying to communicate a new direction and a new vision, especially to people who don't know the whole story.
Well, I've learned over the years, and really the generation before me was a closed leadership style generation. Everything was done in secret board meetings. Everything was done behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. You remember, Chase, I even invited the three students to serve on the administrative cabinet with me. Yeah. And they came in and knew everything was going on. It probably led to some of the turmoil at first. But the trust that is built by openness, accountability, answering questions, access is a huge component of how really we've led this university from 300 students to now this week we just found out we're right at 5,000 students in just 11 and a half years. And that wouldn't have happened without that openness and accessibility and access.
It's amazing. And it's so, so cool to see not only God work through Ohio Christian University, but to see God work in the city of Circleville as well. Like, this had ramifications just larger than this small Bible college.
Well, I as you know, I'm now transitioning out after 11 and a half years. And, yes. And let me just speak to that for a moment. I believe guys like myself that come in that are change agents have a lifespan that is not necessarily long term. 10 and a half years is a long time. In fact, the average president now stays 3.5 years at an institution. It's a very tough job. Just voted the second worst job in America.
That's insane.
It's one where you have parents always upset with you, students are upset with you, faculty's upset with you, staff's upset. You know, it's just one of those jobs where you can't please anyone. But when you look at and understand the impact that can be had, the focus I had from day one was we will become outward focused, not inward focused.
Yep.
And that began to spread. And so I'm being honored on April the 11th. And good. And that night, we already have calls from senators and the governor's office and the mayor's office and legislatures. I was just with 35 legislatures, and the senator from Ohio, Senator Sherrod Brown, who serves in the Senate as a Democrat, Democratic senator, called me and said, "Mark, your impact has been so huge across all of Ohio. You don't even understand."
Yeah.
Because of your outward focus and your heart focus. Yep. He said, "You and I might not agree on a lot of political issues, but," he said, "I agree on your heart.
Yeah.
Your heart's great to reach a community." And I think that's so important. I'm sort of like Ronald Reagan in this regard. I patterned my leadership after him in this regard. Take 3 or 4 key things and focus on it. Don't try to do 25. And that's what I've done while I've been here. And one of the mainstay of that has been an outward focus instead of an inward focus, which so many universities do across America.
Well, that's one of the things that won me over to you was, as I heard you speak and as I got to know you, your heart was just so sincere and it was so focused on Jesus. It really made it easy to kind of follow along and be on your team.
Well, I thank you for that. And that's what my life's about. And part of that, Chase, comes from the fact that 30 years old, I was in a car accident and almost died. And the sincerity with which I approach life is probably a lot more intense than most people, because I know what it is to face death. And I know what it is to be unconscious for hours. I know what it is to go through 5 or 6 surgeries and be on the brink of death. And coming through that, I have one purpose, and that's to live for Jesus Christ, to lift him up.
Amen.
And I never waver from that. So you talk about anchors. One is I am going to be a biblical servant leader all of my life. That's what my life's about. Secondly, that community outreach is displayed in that. So those two anchors have been what have kept me steady through this time of leadership.
Amen. So not only did your heart draw me to you, but you're a fellow mountaineer and we have to stick together, I believe.
Wow. Absolutely. I mean, it's West Virginia all the way. And
How far do you have them
maybe
going
soon.
in the tournament, Dr. Smith?
Well, I had them down to the Final Four this year. I think next
Ooh.
year they'll win it all. And they've got a
Sweet.
loaded up nice team with a lot of recruits. So this year, Final Four at least.
Let's do it. That incredible defense, which I think will help. Hey, so was there ever a time at OCU where you're just like, man, I don't know what to do. I made the wrong decision. This is just like, because I know, because it sounds like a lot of things you're describing sounds like ministry. It's very difficult. You have people sometimes always at you, and I know there are nights where I've left saying, man, like, gosh, this is so difficult. Like, and thankfully that's Leslie's really helped do that. But were there ever times where you're just like, what? Like, man, this is a little too much.
Every week, probably.
Yeah, right.
So, to be real honest, I mean, what leader doesn't go through that,
Yeah.
especially when you're going through tough, challenging times?
Mm-hmm.
And, but I really didn't. Down deep, I knew, and I'll tell you, Chase, one of the things that I've learned in life is to put some solid folks around you that can be your sounding board, because as a leader, I can really get a perspective that's skewed by listening to the 2%. I'll never forget when we went through the name change, and the chorus began to ring out, "Oh, not changing to Ohio Christian University. We're Circleville Bible College. What's wrong with this guy?"
Yeah.
And when I really began to narrow it down, we had about seven people against it. Literally, about seven people were screaming,
Yeah.
and we had thousands cheering.
Yeah.
And it's so easy for us to hear the seven
That's so good.
or the two. And what we as leaders have to do, I had a board that had passed it 14 to zero. I had a group of people around me who had met and said, "This is the right thing." And so I smiled. And again, one of the things people have done, even this past Sunday, after 11 and a half years, a couple walked up to me and was like, "Oh, wow, we're from Circleville Bible College." And I learned to always smile and say, "Wow, doesn't Circleville Bible College have a great history, a great historical perspective and a legacy that is absolutely wonderful?" So you learn to
That's good.
respect and honor the past.
Yep.
And most leaders never get that. And the reason there's tension is you miss that point. So I've learned, and my father really, I take this back to my father. My father always said, "Honor the past and always look to the future." And that's what I try to do as a leader. And if you do that, people will come to your side eventually.
That's great. Just have a couple more questions here. So, how did you deal with adversity from the students differently than adversity from the staff? Because I'm sure there were some professors or teachers or administrators from the old guard that kind of disagreed with the direction you were going. How did you deal with that differently than with the students?
Well, I think you do that more privately. One of the things, again, I would do is I can't tell you the number of times I slipped over to an office, sat down in an office, had the chat, said, "May I answer some questions? I know you're concerned. What are your concerns?" And tried to hear out the persons who were involved in the whole aspect of opposing. Because if again, you respect their views and hear them out and say, "This is why we're doing," and give explanations. Some will never come on board. That's something you learn in leadership,
Yeah.
but at least they can expect that you listen to them. If the more you listen, the more you learn, the more wisdom you have, and the more you can really make people feel good about the decision.
But hey, last question here. So you are at OCU for 11 and a half years, and discerning God's will to move on. What was that process like with OCU and transition to Columbia International University? What was that like? Just in your life and in your family.
Well, I think the last year I have sensed in my spirit some uneasiness. And I know I've been through a couple of other transitions. And part of that can be you begin to sense in the organization maybe there's some dissonance, or begin to sense a board has changed, which in this case I've had some board changes, and maybe there's not as much unity in moving forward in the same direction. And as I prayed, one of the things I've said to my wife, the kingdom of God's always bigger than Mark and Debbie Smith, and never will we be a problem or bring damage to the kingdom of God. And so we have lived that out in our life, and we just begin to sense that maybe God was saying, this is coming to an end. And as we did, doors begin to open up, in our lives to look at the whole possibility of Columbia, which I had always thought Columbia was such a beautiful place because of their missions emphasis. The door opened, the president friend is my friend, and we were just at a conference and just began to chat, and nothing really until January of this year when they invited me down to their campus, and I got there and I just fell in love with the place. They had an opening, and they began to work through the process, and their board felt like it was time for a change of leadership, and their president felt that way. And so all the things, as we prayed and my family prayed, and we just sensed, well, maybe this is the right thing. Yeah. And so just as God brought us here for a period of time to grow and to bring an outward community focus and to love this place. I love Circleville. I love the people. Mm-hmm. I love the students and staff. I'm heartbroken to be leaving some of my dearest friends ever. I gave the best 11 and a half years of my life here, Chase. From 40 to 52 is probably the best years of your life in giving service. It's high energy. You can do a lot. You can rally a team. You have the strength to work 16-hour days, which I've done many times. That's been great. But now I've sensed that the Lord was saying it's coming to an end. So we did that. We didn't want to overstay our welcome, and we wanted to make sure we did it God's way. And one thing I will do is, Debbie and I have committed, we will leave well. It's yep. one thing to come in and start this process, but we're going to leave well. And so we have worked really hard. And whoever comes in, I want to honor them and build them up and try to make things as easy for them as I can. That's the way transitions should occur. Yep. And that's part of our testimony and leadership as well.
You know, this sounds an awful lot like ministry, Dr. Smith.
Like it is.
Leaving a pastor. It is. Yeah.
Yep. It is. And let me say, you said that was the last question, but let me say what inspires me. The third anchor, you have to hear this.
Yeah, yes.
Are people like you. Oh. The students that we loved and invested in. I will never forget you. You were one of the first students we had in, and there's others that I could name as well, that today I see out, and I told my executive assistant, Rhonda, before I took this call, she says, who is Chase Smith? And I said, oh, he's one of my students that God is using in a major way, and the future for him is huge. And I believe that for so many of our students, that's why we invest our lives. So yep. that's the third anchor. If you invest in the next generation and you're one of those, I hope you come back and take my place. Yeah. That was our investment to see you guys go forward and change your world for Jesus Christ. And so may it be so in these days.
Well, thank you so much. And I had a lot of these questions just because I wanted to pick your brain about leadership, but this is super applicable to me and Leslie, because we're going to be transitioning out of our Chicago location here in May, and we're actually moving back to Columbus. Dr. Smith will be in Grove City, Ohio.
Wow.
There's a church, Crosslink Community Church, with Dave Beaver, where I'm going to be brought on as a student pastor and worship leader there.
You will do well. You will do well.
Thank you. So a lot of these questions, leading well and leaving well and discerning God's will to move on, a lot of that was yeah, because I think you can provide a lot of insight, but I just wanted to know for myself.
Well, one tool I will refer to the audience, if you haven't used Daniel Goleman's leadership styles, which is he has six styles from coercive, authoritative, affiliative, democratic pace setting and coaching. Those styles are styles that I use on a daily basis to learn about leadership. And sometimes you use one style and sometimes another. Has written for Harvard Business Review, but leadership that gets results is the name of one article he's written that your listeners should absolutely read and learn, because that style theory that he puts out is phenomenal that I've used over and over in my life.
I will check that out. I will put that in the show notes so people can access that. I also put a couple of your books in the show notes as well. Dr. Smith, thank you so much for your time. Gosh, it's great to catch up, and I look forward to watching you lead and for God to work through you down in Columbia.
God bless you, Chase. We're proud of you.
I love you, man. Take care.
We love you. All right. God bless.